It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll get the latest in national political news from Lisa Hagan of The Hill.
First, the race for the state's top education official concluded yesterday. Incumbent candidate Tody Evers secured his third term as Wisconsin school superintendent and defeated his opponent, Lowell Holtz.
The results were called about a half hour after polls closed. Returns showed around 70% of voters chose Evers. The race was Holtz's second try for the post. He previously ran as a moderate but went for the conservative vote this time around.
In his acceptance speech, Evers called his message one of positivity that resonated better with voters. Holtz congratulated his opponent in his concession, saying that he hoped his campaign, quote, broadened the way people view education reform in Wisconsin.
Peter Goff joins us now to take a closer look at yesterday's results. He's an assistant professor in educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kate.
So let's take a look at what tipped the scales here in Evers' favor yesterday.
Well, I think the official turnout was about 16% of eligible voters, and most of those folks are going to be in the education. Teachers are going to have a high proportion there. Act 10 really had took a hard hit on the morale of teachers. So as in Evers' speech, he mentioned this message of positivity, and he's really seen as a champion of teachers supporting what they do, their professionalism, and how they get the job done. So I think that his support of them came through in the polls.
The support of public school teachers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this race is officially nonpartisan, but talk about why Evers generally appeals more to Democrats and why Holtz got more support from conservatives.
So Holtz was championing the idea of school vouchers and expanding the school choice program, which is interesting on one hand. That's typically a conservative platform. It's interesting because he also mentioned the achievement gap, and that was a recurring theme and when he was running. But the alignment between the achievement gap and school choice, specifically vouchers and the way they're structured in Wisconsin, isn't particularly well aligned, and that wasn't something that I thought he addressed very well.
But is it surprising that Holtz's message about school choice didn't resonate a bit better with Wisconsin voters, because here President Trump, a supporter of school choice and who opposed Common Core, he won Wisconsin.
That's true. I think it would be easy to cast the message that the superintendent turnout was against school choice, but I'm not entirely convinced that that's what it is. We already have a fairly robust and expanding school voucher program, and who ends up in the superintendency isn't going to do much to change that. We'll change sort of how that's implemented and how it's done, but the system's already in place.
And Holtz did win 30% of the vote. What does that message send to us?
He did win 30% of the vote. It's a resounding minority, and it's the Evers' largest margin in the last three elections. So I think it really says that the Evers' message is for the people that are voting for superintendent. His message seems to be coming through loud and clear.
And he was the center. Holtz was the center of a controversy. This was heading into the primary about this thing with John Humphreys that became public, the proposal for that, you know, the winning candidate would hire the other in this job and get a driver. Do you think that impacted how he was chosen by voters or seen by voters?
It definitely shaped my perception of the election. I don't know broadly sort of what the polls say, but it was well publicized. It was definitely unflattering. And I think when we think of the conservative platform, we're worried about big business and sort of the collusion that happens behind the scenes. And if he was seen to be part of that, that's something that voters are going to move away from.
In the final days of the race, the state's achievement gap was front and center in the conversation. Can you give us an overview of how Wisconsin is comparing to other states in achievement?
Sure. When we look at the NAEP, the large-scale national assessment, the black-white achievement gap, Wisconsin tends to come in last, has the largest black-white achievement gap in the country. It's nothing new. We've been in last place for quite a long time. It's a systemic problem. It's something that I think Holtz mentioned that Evers has been complacent on, even though if you look back at sort of Evers' policies and even his fair funding proposals are really aimed at sort of reforming the way we think about education and trying to get dollars into the schools to remediate that specific problem.
It's hard to move the needle fast, though.
It is. Education has been expanding, over the last 100 plus years, from the one-room schoolhouse to incorporate more and more and more of sort of the social remediation that comes along with poverty. And obviously, race and poverty are distinct, but they overlap sometimes. And absolutely, those are tough problems to solve.
We're talking with Peter Goff right now. He's an assistant professor in educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. We're talking about recapping here the state superintendent race last night. Tony Evers, decisive victory over Lowell Holtz for state superintendent of public instruction. And how did Evers address this achievement gap issue? Because it's a tough question, and it can be a very complex answer, I would imagine.
We've seen Evers, in my mind, we've seen Evers push more and more and more for school funding reform. We have a system in Wisconsin right now where we have more money that got pushed into education lately, which was great. But it's not necessarily going in the most efficient, in my estimation, in the most efficient direction, although all dollars are well appreciated. But they're not the ways that are going to really move the needle on the achievement gap specifically.
And in this budget, Governor Scott Walker proposed spending $649 million on K-12 education in the next 2 years. What do you think that says about how Evers will work with other lawmakers at the Capitol?
I think it bodes well insofar as Evers advocated strongly for more money for rural schools, and that's what we saw in the budget. There are other aspects of the budget, sort of the flat element, the sort of the tack-on, which is the least effective way and sort of the most regressive way to address the achievement gap. So I think there's still a sizable amount of work to be done there.
Well, explain that flat tack-on, if you will, and the equal spending among each child that is the proposal.
Sure. That's what Walker put into place was a good chunk of that money was equal dollars for equal students, meaning that All students will receive an equal boost, regardless of their level of challenge or adversity. And that's really not the way we want to solve the achievement gap. The students that are encountering the greatest adversity, we want to make sure they have the most resources to overcome those.
Do you think Evers will push back on that?
I think he'll continue to advocate for funding systems that will channel money where the least advantaged students need it the most.
And so looking ahead here, election behind us, third term coming up, what do you think Tony Evers' first order of business will be in his third term? What's he rolling up his sleeves over?
Dr. Evers has been very proactive on the teacher staffing challenges around the state. Act 10, as I mentioned, has had a sizable morale hit to teachers, and there is some worry about the supply across various locales, across the different content areas. So making sure that we can get teachers into the profession, making sure we can get them into the classroom, and then making sure we can keep them in the classroom is a major priority.
How big of an issue is that?
That's something that we're looking at right now. We will have a series of studies coming out late spring, early summer that address that exact point. But it's a complex and pretty nuanced topic that lies at the intersection of kind of the demand for teachers as well as the supply of teachers and how those two fit together.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Peter Goff. He's assistant professor in educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. He joined us to recap Tony Evers' decisive victory over Lowell Holtz for state superintendent of public instruction.